Views and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We are at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. In the studio with me is Jen Yuha. She's a esteemed member of the Laundry House Gang, a very knowledgeable person on outdoor items, rights, hunting games, game regulations, access. And today we are going to be discussing the open comment period on the federal subsistence program. Jen, what do you think?
Oh, shucks, David. That was quite the flattering.
You're a very exceptional person, and you got a great radio voice, too. You really do. And Fairbanks, she also substitutes for me. She's my favorite substitute. It's not Compo. It's Yuhas is my favorite substitute there. I've said it on the air.
Aw. Well, thanks for that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks for inviting me on today to talk about the much publicized open comment period on the federal subsistence program. That original deadline published came and went, but the secretaries have extended the public comment through March 30th.
Okay.
And I really appreciate having a focused conversation about it rather than just a blip as we do our monthly with the Laundry House Gang, just because there's been so many misconceptions about it. And I've heard from a lot of people who say, I know something needs to change, but they haven't known what to comment. They feel a little intimidated by trying to recommend a specific. They just know that the program needs something.
Why is it open?
So it's open for two reasons. One of those reasons is that Safari Club International, on behalf of the Alaska chapter, John Sturgeon has been the perennial president there. We all know who he is.
Yep.
We've heard some people say this is an outside group. No, SCI Alaska chapter utilized the resource from their international with some attorneys to write a petition for rulemaking because of things that were not working at the Federal Subsistence Board level. So that's one reason why specifically the Secretary of Interior opened docket number DOI-2025-70, Federal Subsistence Review. However, we also have Executive Order 13771, reducing regulation and controlling regulatory costs.
That came from Trump.
It did, along with Memo 2536, streamlining the review of deregulatory actions. So both of those coming from the White House, in addition to the petition for rulemaking, which was very specific, are the reason that the secretary has opened the comment period. And there was a public testimony opportunity in Anchorage where Kara Moriarty, our senior advisor to the Secretary of Interior, was present.
Yeah, and she was with the Alaska Association of Oil and Gas, wasn't she?
Correct. Well, yeah. First she was here. She worked for Pete Kelly.
Yeah.
Then she was our chamber executive director and president.
Mm-hmm.
And then she went down to work with Marilyn Crockett and then took over the AOGA.
Yeah, so you have a very experienced Fairbanks and Alaskan with the Secretary of the Interior,
who understands these issues,
yeah,
and is talking to people of all walks, mm-hmm, to say, what could we do better? And so she presided over that public hearing.
You know, when was the last time the Federal Subsistence Program was ever altered?
Well, I have much paper in front,
yeah,
of me, as you can see. So there have been alterations over the years, little tweaks here and there,
mm-hmm,
and I hope to talk about that in,
yeah,
the hour. The biggest issue is this 1992 record of decision on the EIS on how to implement the program.
35 years ago.
So this was actually, so we call about, we talk about the EIS rod, record of decision, that we refer back to. The board itself was not even recommended. So it was originally recommended that the federal process utilize the state process, and we'll get into that later because there's been debate on deference and not deference. The biggest thing people need to remember with this open comment period, and thank you for having me on about this, there are people who are hopefully commenting that somehow this change in regulation can alter ANILCA and the rural preference. It cannot.
No, no, it's not about that.
And there are other people who are very afraid that it could somehow alter ANILCA and change the rural preference, and it still cannot.
They're afraid of the genie coming out of the bottle.
Yes, and no one so far has proposed an actual schematic. I am working on a white paper, which takes time. Mm-hmm. I have just a simple two-page document as my comment saying it needs an overhaul and that we don't actually have to have a duplicate process in the Federal Subsistence Board and RACs. That can be very scary for some of the people who've made other comments. I have reached out to some friends who are attorneys and executives in some of the Native community who I said, I want you to talk to me first so you understand when you see these comments that are going to sound really radical where I'm really going with this, because I've been referring for about 10 years to state and federal officials that the board process as it stands now, which, by the way, costs us around $22 million a year, a year, simply to administer this this duplicate board process in Alaska. I got that number this morning from someone at Department Interior. I just wanted to double check. And it had gone up. It was no longer $18 million. It was $22
million. Of course.
And people who, you know, we talk often about going to the advisory committee meeting here in town. Well, so many of us that want to be outside and participating in harvesting, hunting, fishing, trapping, sometimes simply just enjoying nature, we have become so bogged down with going to meetings that there's hardly any time to do that. And when a duplicate process like this has to take place in rural areas too, where, you know, there isn't a Fred Meyer's down the street to go get your groceries. Your groceries come from the woods, but you've just spent 3 days in a state board meeting, and now you've got to spend 3 to 10 days in a federal board meeting that's asking the same questions, delivering the same information. And yes, the outcomes are different because they have different missions. I'm suggesting that instead of duplicating that process, we utilize the state process as it is. And some of my friends in the Native community have said, but not for deference. And I said, I'm not saying that. I'm saying, why do we have to go hear the same report at a different meeting? Why does the biologist have to go give the same report at a different meeting? Why not have the decision makers in each of the respective federal agencies send high enough level staff to participate, to ask the questions, to show on the record, if you take this course, Board of Fish or Board of Game, that will likely cause me to take this action at Park Service or Fish and Wildlife Service or BLM or for Department of Ag, who also participates at the Forest Service. And give that information in real time. You know, I know we almost have a break now, but we went round and round for years with this Red Sheep Creek proposal, you know, up near Arctic Village. And because of the out of cycle, you know, the Board of Game takes things up on a 3-year rotating cycle. The Federal Subsistence Board does wildlife 1 year, fish the next year. And you'd go to one, go through all of the presentation, all of the public testimony, and say, well, we're not going to take action now because the Board of Game is going to meet in March on this. Yeah. You go to the Board of Game and say, well, we're not going to take action now because the Federal Subsistence Board isn't going to meet again until next year. And you just end up in
a circle.
A circle. Analysis paralysis.
Yeah. Bureaucratic bureaucracies. Fairbanks, with that, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. I have Jenny Uhas in the studio here with me. We are talking about the open enrollment period for Federal Subsistence Program, and we'll be back after these messages. If you have a question, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255, and we'll be right back.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
RSF and the Woodway are proud to present the Keystone Alaska Wood Fireplace. The Alaska DEC approved Opal Plus Keystone Alaska is the result of fine craftsmanship inspired by versatility and built on more than 30 years of proven performance with high efficiency wood burning fireplaces. The Keystone is perfect for adding modern sophistication to your home and practicality for heating spaces over 2,000 square feet with catalytic technology. RSF, built on quality, innovation, and originality. Class with comfort, the Alaskan way, the right way, the Woodway.
Contractors, architects, and engineers. When it comes to your big print needs, Advanced Printing has you covered. We are your trusted local source for technical printing. Whether you need large format blueprints, detailed technical drawings, or blueprint scanning services, we deliver sharp, accurate results fast. Rush orders? No problem. Advanced Printing is built to deliver with fast turnarounds and unmatched quality. Visit hotprinter.com or call us at 907-451-1111. Advanced Printing, serving Fairbanks for over 40 years.
Advanced Printing, where your business means a mint to us.
It's an all-time Fairbanks favorite as hilarious Lachlan Patterson returns for the March installment of the Alaska Comedy Showcase. Catch Lachlan Patterson Wednesday, March 4th at the North Pole Ale House, Thursday, March 5th at the Spur, Friday and Saturday night, the 6th and 7th at the Pioneer Park Theater. All shows are at 7 p.m. Tickets available at alaskacomedy.com or at the door. Don't miss Lachlan Patterson for the March Comedy Showcase, brought to you by Zach's at Sophie Station and KFAR Radio.
Sound. It's all around us. Whether the laughter of children, the sounds of your favorite wildlife, or the rhythm of your favorite song. Sound brings our world to life. The Fairbanks Hearing and Balance Center wants to remind you that their certified doctors of audiology are here to help hear those sounds. And whether it's a medical condition that requires treatment or a simple fitting of a hearing device, Dr. Jackson and her certified and licensed staff will help you hear more. Come into the Fairbanks Hearing and Balance Center for testing to hear what you've been missing. For more, visit fairbankshearing.com.
KFAR Weather.
A winter weather advisory begins at 3 p.m. this afternoon and continues until 9 p.m. tomorrow night. Snow likely today, otherwise cloudy skies expected. Highs around 11, northeast winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. 1 to 3 inches of snow today through tomorrow. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. In the studio here with Jen Uhas, we are talking about the open enrollment period for the Federal Subsistence Program. And, you know, it's a twofold call, so to speak, basic overview. And you can't change the law, but you can start looking at it. Any real chance to make a difference?
Well, right now, yes. We have an administration who's paying attention, and
thank goodness. I mean, if you're going to have anything, it's now.
And we spoke with Kara Moriarty, our senior advisor to the secretary, down in Nashville a couple weeks ago. There's a large convention down there, and she came to the Alaska meeting. We had an Alaska meeting just for us, as we do each year. And you know, she noted that the White House is looking to make lasting change. So some of the changes that people may have requested, not just on this program, they say it's taking too long. We don't want to see what happened previously and wait out the 4 years and not have time to act. And she assured us that they have their attorneys working on making a lasting difference so things don't just blow with the wind with each administration. The deputy secretary right now, Kate McGregor, Kate the Great, I call her. I don't know if she knows that or...
Well, it's over the airwaves now.
Met her down in Nashville about 4 years ago when the Biden administration was still in, and she talked about her comment philosophy, where we've seen so many public comment, we get fatigue on it, you know, going to so many meetings, saying things and seeing no change. And she said that under her leadership, they don't simply look at the numbers and the form letters, that yes, it's important to comment because someone giving them the one right answer that is the aha that they can say, yes, this is actually it. They can run with that as long as the comment comes in. And so that's what we're trying to generate.
How would you bring a person to go to comment on this? So how do you bring them to that?
So you can, in person, there was a public hearing, and so you could actually bring them physically to the meeting. Mm-hmm. There was a Zoom alternative there too. But right now, you would simply... I can give you the specific dockets, and I will, but if you just Google open public comment Federal Subsistence Board 2026. It will lead you there, and you'll go to Department of Interior regulations.gov, or you can even just go to regulations.gov and then type in federal subsistence, and this will come up. You'll see docket DOI-2025-170, Federal Subsistence Review. And the call for comments explains that it is under review and that the new comment deadline is March 30th, 2026. That there has also been consultation with tribes and Native corporations. ANILCA speaks to rural, and then the federal government does have an obligation to tribes that people don't always understand, but there is a, you know, they're treated as a government-to-government relationship. And there was an open house and listening session on March 10th. And the transcripts from that are online, too, so you can see what people were commenting, what their hopes, fears, and suggestions were. You can also just simply send an email to subsistence@ios.doi.gov, or you can actually mail it, and you can find that information online for the mailing address. There are several comment periods open. Some of that is for the proposals that the Federal Subsistence Board is dealing with right now. Some of that is for their closure review process, which many of us who participate in this arena, and my involvement is, I actually went to the hearings in 1992 when they were producing the Record of Decision.
we are dating ourselves.
I know. Well, I was 20.
You know, back then I still had some hair.
Back then you still had some hair?
Yeah. I was about 30 pounds lighter.
Well, back then I was...
My ego's bigger, too.
Is it?
It was back then.
Back then, yeah. It's smaller now because life lessons.
Yeah, it's life lessons.
But Patty, the mayor from Pelican, who's a perennial RAC member on the Southeast RAC, she thought she caught me one time because I said, well, I went to the first Federal Subsistence Board meeting in 1992. She said, they didn't form the board until 93. I said, yeah, Patty, I went to the Egan Center. I still have the binder in my Connex box. There was only like three of us that were from the public. And she was like, oh, that's right. Well, that's when they were discussing the EIS Record of Decision. And
you know, this is what gets me. This is why I so appreciate you and the Laundry House Gang. This is not a one-on. This is a lifetime journey that you've been looking at all your adult life since 1992.
Yeah, I was 20.
And you're still involved and at it. Thank you. Thank you.
Now
get your big head down. Get your big head down. I'm giving you a compliment.
Thank you.
Simple as that.
Thank you. But yeah, so you know, I was commenting on regulations and involved in this, and then it was just a dream to have been a dental hygienist and wound up in the legislature when my patients dragged me down there because we talked about the subsistence program.
Yeah.
And he lost his chief of staff, said, why don't you come be my chief of staff? Then I got to, again, comment on this when I was executive director of the Alaska Outdoor Council, and then to be hired by the state and to have represented the state before the Federal Subsistence Board for 5 years until we got a new commissioner. It was really just a dream, but I think I can't let it go. I'm just too invested in this. So that's where people can go, and they can read all of the other comments. They can see what is being said about this. The biggest issues really are whether or not having a board comprised of public members is an abrogation of responsibility by the agency heads, which has been posed. And then some of the public comment in that meeting was, but these are esteemed members of the public who have knowledge, just like our friends who come in with the Laundry House Gang. They have hands-on knowledge, as do so many of the people who show up who live outside doing these things in rural areas or Fairbanks. They're bringing knowledge that people didn't want to have lost. Well, that doesn't have to happen through a board schematic. There has to be a program. This is not going to eliminate a program. The call for comments is, how should this be structured? And they're finally taking a good long look at it. You asked in the first segment, when was the last time that things were changed. Well, they've tweaked little things here and there, but it's been the Band-Aid or, you know, doing the little fix on the car that is eventually going to strand you on the highway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
and we've been at that point in several junctures. Once there are closures within the federal subsistence program to others, to people who don't live in the rural area, we have not really seen them reopen. As there's been a couple, a very few examples. Red Sheep Creek reopened and then it was closed again. But the closure review process, the appointment process, we have had the bureaucratic encumbrance of middle-level managers is not as transparent as the advisory committee process, where mm-hmm. you show up, members of the public show up on the night of the elections yearly and say, I want these people to be on the advisory committee. In the RAC process, you apply. And it was devastating to lose Bertrand Adams Sr., my dear friend, Clinkert Elder, who goes by the name Kadashan, was gifted to him. It was his grandfather's name. He's an author, and he writes as Kadashan. He had been a member of the RAC for 20 years, chairman for 10. And when it was announced at a federal subsistence board meeting in the cycle, who would be reappointed to the regional advisory committee, Beth Pendleton, the head of the Forest Service in Alaska, looked up from her papers astonished and grabbed the microphone and said, this is the first time I'm hearing this. And I was one of his letters of recommendation, and I never got notice that you were not reappointing him. And my perception, because we don't know, it was a closed process, some of the mid-level staff had been angry with him because he had voted with the state on a few proposals down there that the staff had wanted to go a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And that was all we could figure, because there's this opaque appointment process where the mid-level staff would interview people. That's how they got rid of Virgil Umphenauer.
Yeah.
He can be cantankerous, but there was a lot of knowledge lost on that rack.
Sad. You have to be careful about mid-level bureaucrats running the show.
And there's so many people who are well-intended. I don't want to simply label all radio hosts or all in a job category that way.
You've had quite an extensive history with this program.
Since I first heard on the radio. So it was a radio show that got me involved, David, and I was listening to the radio in my vehicle, driving between my lifeguarding and waitressing jobs, trying to make it through dental hygiene school, and the radio was featuring that these changes were coming, that this federal subsistence board was going to be implemented. Byron Mallott was quoted a lot at the time, and there was open comment availability to go down to the Egan Center. And so as a young adult, I said, I'm going to go. And went and made a few comments and got my binder. And, you know, really there was about 30 people there, and most of them were staff of one sort or another. And there were three of us from the public. And that was it.
That was it. Well, and 35 years later, here you are.
I guess so. And, you know, 35 years later, the program has grown and grown and bloated. There's a fella with the Forest Service, name is Steve Kessler, and at his retirement, he said his biggest accomplishment was that when he came on down in Southeast, that he hired the Forest Service's first fisheries biologist, and now there were 64 employed. And I thought, oh, my word, you guys are still using the state data when we come to these meetings, and now you have this many people that you've hired. Look how much just his segment of that program had grown.
Expanded, yeah.
To still wait on the state and say, well, unless the state can give us the numbers, we won't let you catch a fish.
You know, the only reason I'm laughing is because that hurts.
It hurts everyone.
Yeah.
There are consequences that the lay person's observation, if you don't participate in the process, is, well, why do some people want to listen to the state? Why does someone who lives rurally think that the federal program's better for them? A lot of that comes down to hearing a closure, so that means that it's open first for us who are rural.
Mm-hmm.
There's an unintended consequence of that that has not been able to be rectified in the program or in the way it's been administered, so that you really can't go back out to a rurally qualified only area and help grandma with your fish, because you can't touch a subsistence fish if you now live in town because you're going to college or you took a job and you're in your early 20s, which also means you can't learn your culture.
True. Fairbanks, we're going to take a break for some bumper music. The Doobie Brothers, China Grove. I approve this bumper music. We get some weird stuff here, but this is good. Then we're going to go into some Fox News, some state news, some weather, some commercials, and we will be back.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live.
Carmen Roberts, U.S. and Brent crude topped $90 a barrel as an oil bottleneck from the Mideast war threatens the global economy. And President Trump says there will be no deal with Iran without unconditional surrender. White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt says the spike in oil prices is short term.
To obliterate the Iranian regime will be a very good thing for the energy and oil markets and for oil prices across the globe in the long term, when you no longer have a terrorist regime that is restricting the free flow of energy through the Strait of Hormuz and to the rest of the world.
As the attacks continue against Iran, President Trump's making this pledge.
His post on Truth Social also pledged the U.S. and its allies would help rebuild the country, saying, quote, Iran will have a great future. Make Iran great again.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Some residents of the Denali Borough who have been trapped in their homes by heavy snowfall for weeks were finally freed this weekend after state DOT plows were able to reach them at the request of the borough. Alaska News Source reports that Kobe Road is not a state-maintained road. However, DOT did provide assistance on Saturday. Joe Chatfield lives in the Kobe subdivision about an hour north of Healy. Chatfield said he was grateful to the operators who detoured from their normal work to help plow his road. Cold temperatures that plummet during the night have made it extremely difficult to keep equipment running, but Chatfield, who recently purchased a large tractor with a snowblower, is determined to reach neighbors who are still stuck and may be in trouble. He said of his neighbors, mostly they are set with food, but fuel is an issue. Some have heating fuel problems as well because of the cold snap, which has caught everybody a little bit off guard in the area. Denali Borough Mayor Chris Knoll urged residents to contact the nonprofit Neighbor to Neighbor for help for supplies and to call 911 if they have a medical or other emergency that needs immediate attention.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Hi, it's Chuck Indereed, your host for Shooter's Corner, the show dedicated to firearms conversation and education and the shooting sports. You'll be on target for fascinating guests, expert tips, gear reviews, plus thrilling stories. Get the lowdown on local 2A events and more. You won't want to miss a single episode. Join me, Chuck Indereed, every Thursday morning at 11 for Shooter's Corner, where precision meets passion. Sponsored in part by Auto Trim Design. Listen right here on KFAR 660 AM.
Wesley is a truck driver.
I drive a truck, and I love what I do.
A truck driver with IRS troubles.
They told me I owed them $43,000.
It got really bad.
Quite a few letters in the mail. They were talking about wage garnishment coming after my house, my car. Yeah, they don't play around. I seriously thought that I was going to lose everything.
One sleepless night, Wesley finally made a call to Optima Tax Relief at 2 a.m.
Kind of figured I'd get a machine, but I didn't. I actually got to talk to an actual person in the middle of the night.
He found just what he was looking for.
Oh, they were great people. You need a team of people that know what they're doing. Optima Tax. They know what they're doing.
Optima Tax Relief came through with flying colors.
I saved an incredible amount of money. Happy don't even come close. I was absolutely overjoyed.
Take Wesley's advice.
If you're in any kind of trouble with the IRS, call Optima Tax Relief. Don't trust anybody else.
Call Optima for a free consultation. Call 800-783-8055. That's 800-783-8055. 800-783-8055.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Head to Ivory Jack's, right in the heart of the Goldstream Valley. Amazing food, killer cocktails, cold beer, and live entertainment. Enjoy gluten-free Thursdays with gluten-free lasagna. Who knew? Prime rib Fridays, baby back rib Saturdays, and brunch done right on Sundays. Grab a six-pack to go. Snag an Ivory Jack's hoodie and plan to stay way longer than you meant to. Ivory Jack's. Relax, refuel, repeat. Where Fairbanks goes for a good time and where the parking's always free.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Jen Uhas in the office here, studio with me. We're talking about the open comment period for the Federal Subsistence Program. If you would like to call in, we're at 907-458-TALK. That's 907-458-8255. Now, again, how do we go about finding information on how to give public comment?
So the public comment deadline has been extended until March 30th, so we have till the end of the month. And simply Google open comment Federal Subsistence Alaska, throw in 2026 if you want, and that will take you to regulations.gov or go to regulations.gov and search Federal Subsistence Program, and the correct docket will come up.
Okay.
And the docket, again, is DOI 2025-170, and that's where they are accepting comments. You can read all around 1,200 comments that have already been submitted. You can sort them by, you know, type.
But like you said, it just takes one good comment for them to take a look and say, yes, this makes sense, versus the 150 same one.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I've seen some really creative responses in there that have called for, I've got a printout here of the policies of the Federal Subsistence Board, and they've been under criticism. You asked how many times it had changed. It's not have been overhauled the way it has needed to be, but they've made little tweaks and they've enacted policies. One recurring issue that folks in town, as well as AFN, who has had several resolutions pass their floor of delegates. I helped with a couple of them, but I recently provided these to the secretary's office, you know, the history of all the AFN resolutions supporting a change to the predator management policy. When Tim Tawarik was the chair of the Federal Subsistence Board, the public appointed member before they added public members so that there were three. There was simply the agencies and one chair, and then they added two, and then they've recently added more. But when Tim Tawarik was chair, he intended to revise the Federal Subsistence Board policy on predator management. Mostly you've got a couple of agencies saying predator management is inconsistent with park values, or predator management is inconsistent with my refuge values. And that also is being looked at back at the White House. Hopefully we will see some sort of executive order that says, you know, we've taken a look at this and we want you to scrap that language.
Yeah. I'd love to talk with you and the Laundry House Gang about predator management, but that's just one of the examples in this.
It is one of the examples, and here's the kicker, though, David, is that when Tim wanted to do this, I helped with, you know, the state's position on that, which, of course, was in support. It doesn't mean you have to do predator management. It just simply meant changing the policy. And when we talk about mid-level management, again, there's many committed, dedicated people in mid-level management, but at the time, the assistant solicitor for Alaska and the Fish and Wildlife Service had witnessed badgering of the chair, the publicly appointed board member, to tell him, well, you can't do that without an EIS. And you know me, I questioned that and said, well, why? You enacted it in 2004 without an EIS. So why would you need an EIS to repeal it wasn't part of the record of decision in 92. You just made a policy by vote in 2004. That means that's how you enacted it. But they had him convinced that, nope, lawyers say you can't do that. And that's where.
So was he on the record, the attorney? So he committed perjury.
Well, or confusion.
When an attorney's saying, no, you can't do that when you can, and he's given direction to the chair, to me that's perjury.
I would have to agree with you. I think he would have feigned ignorance or confusion. We went round and round about
or
this.
Or subterfuge, saying, well, I did not testify under oath.
But
that's there. You know, that's what these people do.
Yeah. We had written official memos from the state that I had, you know, pre-written and got stamped by law. And then we had our state comments saying, you know, all of this is inaccurate. And because the board was stacked with agency heads, they were giving deference to
their own.
Yes. And the program was then housed under Fish and Wildlife Service. Now, some of the comments have said, don't move it here or move it there. putting it in the secretary's office. It does incorporate two secretaries. So you've got Secretary of Interior that has BLM, Fish and Wildlife Service and Parks, and then you have Secretary of Agriculture, which oversees Forest Service. So all of this involves two secretaries, and it's the decision of the secretaries. But when we went round and round about that, it just highlighted another, besides their closures on hunting, fishing, trapping, besides their non-rural determinations and how they address their petitions for extraterritorial jurisdiction, which we got quashed a couple times, because there was not the appropriate defense behind the request saying federal agencies, please take over this fishery because they don't like what the state's doing. Under a three-year expensive, laborious process, we proved, you know, there's not justification for this, and the RAC, Regional Advisory Council, and the board agreed with us and diminished it. But you know, it was a three-year expensive, laborious process to get to the right decision.
How much fun can you have?
for some of us, it's a lot less fun than getting out and hunting and fishing and trapping.
Yeah, you know, and you're asking people for their comments. And basically, if a person does not know a direction firmly that they want to take, they can just say, this system needs overhaul in a public comment.
And
it needs overhaul.
I hope that they would, so that the message is received by the secretary that, you know, something is not, enough people think this whole thing isn't working.
Yeah.
That even if you don't know exactly what to say, put in, you know, some little way that this has touched you. You closed your grouse season, or you couldn't learn your own culture because you couldn't go hunting with your grandfather.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we live in Alaska. This is what the state's for.
And there is an overlay, and we cannot change a rural preference or the need to deliver a program, but it doesn't have to be this program.
Yeah, you know, I look at it where any outdoor activity I do is not to live off the land. I do not do that anymore. And therefore, I will always give deference to people who, I don't care if they're rural or urban, if that is their lifestyle, that should not be taken away. Period. That's just my personal thought.
You know, I said this was a $22 million
boondoggle.
But then I got a text while we were on the air that in addition to the $22 million,
there's always more.
USDA just got a
$1,099,000
addition for this in the CIP, Capital Improvement Project, to administer over 3 years simply for support to the Federal Subsistence Board. So that's $23 million we can say today. And are we getting $23 million worth of service from that as Alaskans, even as rural Alaskans, when we can't fund things like taking the data to find out if there's enough sheep, taking the data to find out what's happening to the sheep, taking the data to find out what's happening with some of our migratory birds? All of every penny of that I see in a duplicated meeting when we've got around 68 functional advisory committees with the state who meet once a month, not just twice a year. And we've got...
And that's with the state only.
That's with the state only, but these same rural residents and local residents here in Fairbanks. You go to the Fairbanks AC, and then the Eastern Interior Regional Advisory Council for the federal process has been meeting at Pikes this week.
Yeah.
So same information, same individuals, same report.
Duplicated.
And could that biologist have been in the field taking data?
Yeah. Asking questions. Interviewing.
Supporting conservation to either find out what we have, find out what's happening to the populations, or supporting the populations for the future.
True.
Delivering conservation rather than public meetings.
There's better use for that $24 million now. There's this better use to help enhance our fishing game management in the state of Alaska.
To be better stewards.
Yeah. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
The Find Out Free Pregnancy Center provides free, confidential pregnancy tests to any woman in need. But they offer so much more to women, men, and families. By participating in one-on-one parenting classes selected by you, you can take advantage of Earn While You Learn, earning valuable credit to spend on children's items and clothing in Maria's Boutique. The Find Out Free Pregnancy Center. Call 907-455-8255 or visit online findoutfree.com. Findoutfree.com.
Well, it's dark, it's cold, but hey, at least we don't have to worry about a sunburn. Hey Fairbanks, Les Nichols with Fairbanks Nissan. This time of year absolutely wreaks havoc on our cars. Hard starts, no starts, is my winterization working? Heaters that aren't heating? How old is my battery? Brakes that are stiffer than a New Year's cocktail? Suspension that feels every single bump in the road? And life doesn't stop. You still have to get to work, drop off the kids, pick up the kids, do the shopping. And when you call your usual shop with a problem, they'll tell you they can get you in sometime this summer. Maybe it's time for a New Year's resolution. Stop waiting in line and call Fairbanks Nissan. Yes, we sell Nissans, but we work on all makes and models, even yours. In fact, we probably do more work on other brands than we do on Nissans. And we work with almost all extended warranty companies. So you can call us even if you got your warranty somewhere else. When you need help in a hurry, not months from now, call Fairbanks Nissan. Schedule your service online at FairbanksNissan.com. That's FairbanksNissan.com. Fairbanks Nissan, here when winter doesn't wait.
It has occurred to me that I am an introvert. I live a sheltered life as an old septic tank, gazing at the stars, pondering my poetry, appreciating the weather, rain or snow. I know my family has Bigfoot Pumpin' and Thawin' faithfully pump me out once a year. I count on that flow in my life, and I will continue to serve them much better for many years to come.
Weather brought to you by CNR Pipe. No matter the weather, CNR Pipe keeps Alaska building. CNR Pipe, the state's largest supplier of metal and materials that last.
KFAR Weather.
A winter weather advisory begins at 3 p.m. this afternoon and continues until 9 p.m. tomorrow night. Snow likely today, otherwise cloudy skies expected. Highs level off around 11. Northeast winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. 1 to 3 inches of snow today through tomorrow. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM,
and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Jen Uhas in the studio with me. We lost a phone call. Hopefully that person calls back. But basically, you know, for $24 million, I think the state would be better stewards of the funds. I really do.
I agree, and there's people who may disagree, but having all of the same players go to one meeting and maybe the outcomes don't change for the actions that the federal agencies take. Maybe it's streamlined, though, and they show up at a meeting and say, okay, Board of Game, Board of Fish, if you take this action, I'll likely need to go back to my desk and take this other action.
Yeah.
They would have taken it anyway with this full board process. Do we need to spend $24 million for them to take that action?
No. No. There's better areas of expense that you can do with that $24 million that can give you better data, better return on what you're seeking.
The amount of money that we're spending on a duplicate meeting, before we went to break, I said, can we have the biologists in the field collecting the data we need to rely on? So many openings don't pass or seasons don't pass because we don't have enough data. Well, I know where there's $24 million we could be spending on obtaining the data that we need. One thing before our hour is over that I hope to address is that, you know, anytime there's change, people get nervous. And we've kind of talked about this program being
You've got 12 minutes.
Right, being a jalopy, yeah. You know, that we've – some folks don't want to lose the fix that they made, right? Like, you know, I finally got the timing right on the belt. I don't want a new car. Mm-hmm. What if I don't like the new car? What if it doesn't – we need a different vehicle. We desperately need a different vehicle. One of the things I heard in the public comments at the hearing on the 10th that Kara was up for, so many people said they don't want to lose the public voices. Well, because we have these public members appointed to the board now, mm-hmm. and the petition said, the petition for rulemaking said, you've got public members making these decisions when it's the agency head's responsibility. You know, nothing prevents the secretaries from getting advice from anyone they want to get advice from. And so I've had a little bit of criticism from some of my own saying, but you're proposing elevating the voices that are on the board now. So, yeah, I sure am. Elevate them. Let them talk directly to the secretary. Let them
make the decisions.
Them.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be making the decision in the end, which would satisfy the original complaint. We both knew and were friends with Chick Wallace, longtime Fairbanks. And I found out that he had a job as the civilian assistant or civilian aide to the Secretary of the Army for many, many years, and that there were only between 9 and 16 of them at any given time peppered throughout the United States. I said, well, what does a civilian special assistant to the secretary do? Well, he
keeps his finger on the pulse of the Alaska.
Yes.
Military.
Exactly. So he was a community liaison who had direct access to the secretary. He didn't decide whether we went to war. He didn't decide whether we opened or closed a base. But he was the trusted advisor and esteemed public voice with knowledge that was recognized by the community to liaise between the community and the secretary. There's no reason we have to lose the input from those voices. And nothing prohibits the agencies to consult with someone like that the way that they consult with, they have an obligation to consult with tribes, whether people understand it or not. There is a government-to-government relationship that is well-established in the courts and needs to take place for that consultation. Nothing prevents the secretaries from streamlining that consultation.
What the heck?
And if the board goes away, as I hope, I would like to see a different schematic here. I'd like to see a streamlined, money-saving schematic in accordance with the directive from Memo 2536 and Executive Order 13771 that serves us better and utilizes our resources better.
There you go. And how do they make public comments again?
They go to Department of Interior or regulations.gov or simply Google Federal Subsistence Scoping Process Comment 2026, and you will find the link to the Federal Register, and you'll find all of the documents there you can review, why they opened the comment, why they extended it, what the context was.
And they have till March 30th.
March 30th, till the end of the month. And I hope that having this discussion with some of our listeners who pay attention will spur them to at least just make a comment that they want to see something change.
Yeah. Well, what the heck? You wanted to go on to a few other things here before we traveled on, I believe.
Well, we simply went through the policies, how to comment. What do we have over there on our list? We talked about the public voices.
That's your list.
Talked about
my talking points. Your list. She is so good.
If you're not comfortable making specific comments, simply comment that it needs to be overhauled.
Yeah.
And there really is an opportunity to make a change. The folks that are taking our comments really are listening, but the outdated EIS record of decision from 1992, I would hope, and I've talked to a few people, that commenting that it needs to be overhauled, while it would be expensive, and I understand it would take about 3 to 4 years and cost about $8 million to do a new EIS, I hope they do it.
Yeah, but it's one-third of $24 million.
That's exactly my point.
Yeah.
This cobbled-together program.
An EIS after 35 years should have a total review and input for change.
It should. And rather than simply the Band-Aids and plugging a leaky tire.
Now think about 1992. In Alaska, if not the country, Clinton was the president.
That's right.
Ted Stevens and Frank Murkowski were senators and Don Young was our congressman.
And I drove a conversion van with bald tires that couldn't get up the hill.
We were just getting through the remnants of the Cold War.
Right.
There was an abundance of fish on the Yukon River.
We still had eight-year salmon.
Yeah. Oh, you could catch a grayling in the Chena River.
That's and keep it.
Yeah.
You could keep it.
Yeah.
I think we probably still had a better run of salmon in the Chena. And I think around 92, 93 is when that record king was caught in the Kenai.
Yeah.
We haven't seen hogs like that in forever.
Yeah. What else did we have? We had some whales get trapped up at a Barrow and a Russian icebreaker come in and free two out of the three.
That's right. And we did not have wood bison yet on our horizon.
Hmm.
We had people working very hard, Buffalo Bob Stevenson and some of the others.
You could take a sheep that was three-quarter curl.
Yes. And there were more of them.
Yeah.
We didn't have so many closures around where the resources have changed, the landscape has changed, our population has changed.
The weather was about the same. A lot of snow, cold. Yeah.
But things have changed, and now this cobbled together program, we have an opportunity to make a large change in it.
Yeah. You know, sometimes it's, like you said, cobbled together, added on to, edited, inserted. Them now it's nonsensical.
You can put new siding on that house, but the layout's still wrong.
True, true. So what happens next? After the public comment period is over, what happens?
After the public comment period is over, our esteemed appointed officials at Department of Interior will compile and digest the comments and make some decisions about what they intend to propose as any changes, whether they maybe want to initiate a new EIS process, whether they're going to make a few short tweaks with further comment needed for large tweaks. But we will see some document and give them some time. I mean, we just had a 60-day public comment period thing on this, and more than that. And a lot to digest and say, would this work? They need to vet that down in the departments and say, if we did this, would it make things better or worse? Do we have the capacity to do that? How fast could we implement it? And then look for another document to come out so that we can say, if they decide to make some changes, they will publish that and then invite comment on the proposed changes. So some of us, like Al Barrett and I, who's probably listening, we're on the listserv subscription for the regulations. We get that Federal Register changes, you know, everything from letting a contract to, you know, minor word changes. And
you guys are boring.
It's exciting.
I know.
It's exciting.
I know.
Al,
you're boring. I know you're listening.
No, that's our sports.
I know.
We get together and say, did you see that play?
It's your interest.
Did you see that play?
Oh, my
goodness.
Did you
see that new comment proposed?
Yeah. And isn't Al going to be going into the Board of Game here?
Yes.
In Kodiak?
Yeah.
For a week?
Or more.
Or more. You know, for people who volunteer to go through that process and be appointed to that board, that's a lot of work for very little recognition. So, oh boy.
Well,
okay.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, we got about a minute left, so however you want to end it.
Well, just thanks for taking the time to help us educate the community about things like this. There's not always time for a deep dive. There's so many things going on. We have comment fatigue. I mean, you can go to the city council and the borough assembly and the school board ad nauseum before you even start tackling advisory committees and these other regulatory boards. Then you got the transportation and the fast planning and, you know, when are you supposed to eat dinner and get outside and, as the kids say, touch grass?
True, true. Oh, boy. Well, what do you got planned for the weekend?
Driving down tomorrow for
SCI.
the annual SCI banquet. I'm going to miss tonight because it was important to come on here, and we won't have time to get there in time for the banquet if we drive down with the dog.
Okay.
So we'll just go to the Saturday banquet.
How's the dog?
Really good. That little monster I adopted from Bethel. He's got manners now. He even, he can sit and stay and wait. And yeah. How about you? What are you doing this weekend?
I just asked Emily to decide where I'm taking her to dinner. And we're going to go shooting on College Road either Saturday or Sunday. I got some real estate work to do, some snow shoveling to continue.
Yeah, I heard there's more coming.
Yep. Fairbanks, that is our show. Jen, thank you so much. Fairbanks, I will see you on Monday. You have a great weekend.